Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the July 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing Amateur Radio Insights by Kirk Kleinschmidt, NT0Z. NT0Z at stealthamateur.com. Is your transmit audio cool jazz or tin can and a string? An image on this page shows a Shure microphone within a mic holder on a boom. At the base of the mic is a cylindrical accessory plugged into it. Two close-up images included within the larger image show this cylindrical accessory in more detail. The caption reads, "The classic Shure SM58 Super Cardioid voice mic is widely used in stage and studio, but it's also great for amateur radio, despite what you may have been taught. The problem? It has a very low output, and when used with many mixers, it needs a low-noise preamp. Instead of spending $140 on Shure's own Cloudlifter model, check out the Clark Technic CT1, $25, shown in both insets, like I did. It plugs into the back of your dynamic mic, and no more problems." NT0C photo. The other image on this page is an overall view of a Behringer mixer board. There's a close-up inset view of a power button and two LED lights, one indicating power is on and the other indicating 48-volt phantom power is on. The caption reads, "Compact desktop mixers such as my Behringer 1202, analog and USB outputs, provide a lot of bang for very few bucks. XLR jacks, compression, noise gating, equalizer, effects, useful and otherwise. They also provide switchable 48-volt phantom power for Electret mics and a power inline accessory such as the Clark Technic preamp, shown elsewhere, see inset. The top-down form factor, however, is usually not ideal for shack use." NT0Z photo. Back to the text. "I must confess that in my nearly 50 years as a ham, I have never looked at my own transmitted signals on a scope. Yikes. I plan to do it as I build a transceiver or two in the near future. But there's no getting away from the fact that I have not yet done so. How about you? Seeing your transmitted signals on a scope and a spectrum analyzer, now trivial with the wide availability of consumer VNAs, scopes, and even spectrum analyzers, may delight or even terrify you. But we should all do it, even if we only do it once. Complexity isn't necessarily better. Commercial radios, probably starting with the Japanese invasion of the early 1970s, were much more complex than the mostly tube rigs and homebrew rigs that came before them. Why use two transistors when 37 will do just a tiny bit better? But complexity doesn't guarantee absolute performance. Circuit elements, crystal filters, dozens of active devices, multiple mixers and conversions, and the like, can really muddy the waters, sound. That's why ops who listen to high-quality direct conversion receivers for the first time are blown away by the clarity and the sound quality. They liken it to listening to an audio CD, or to being closer to the signal. Simplicity can impart clarity and performance, as evidenced by a one-transistor mic amp designed by Pete Giuliano, N6QW, of Solder Smoke podcast fame, who happens to have built more than 50 SSB transceivers in his long engineering and homebrewing career. Pete often designs and builds radios from reusable modules for ease of reuse. So when he designed his present mic amp module, Pete modeled it extensively in Circuit Simulator LTSPICE before building, testing, and tweaking it in the real world. Using the least exotic, most affordable transistor available today, the venerable 2N3904, which sometimes costs less than a penny, Pete's mic amp is perfectly behaved and flat as a pancake from 300 to 3000 hertz and probably beyond. It accommodates a wide variety of microphones and microphone types, and when used on air, it elicits great audio comments from ops of the other end of the QSO. And that's before Pete mentions that his rig is home-brewed, which, for reasons unknown, often causes other ops to turn sour, perhaps because they can't imagine that a home-brew rig can sound as good as or better than a commercial radio. Or because they can't imagine that they could build anything like that themselves. Like complexity, simplicity doesn't guarantee performance, but it doesn't rule it out either. Because my own illustration skills are non-existent, I used an AI tool to whip up a cartoon in the style of Gil Gildersleeve, who made many classic ARRL cartoons in decades past. Why not? The tower is a bit wonky, but the stool has four legs and the op's hands have five fingers, so I call that a win. It's also many times better than I could have done on my own. The quest for good audio. As a teenage ham, a mentor demonstrated his Drake C-Line transmitter, which was paired with an Astatic D104 crystal mic. It sounded great on the old tube-type Drake, but not very good at all on newer solid-state transmitters. For me to understand why would take a few more decades of struggle. In high school, my Tempo 1 transceiver was driven by a ubiquitous Shure 444 desk mic. I don't really know how it sounded, but it couldn't have been too bad, because in thousands of QSOs over several years, nobody mentioned anything off-color. The vintage 444 may not sound very good today, however, as the elements tended to degrade over the decades. In college, I worked as a DJ and a newscaster at several radio stations in Minnesota and North Dakota. At one of the larger FM stations, once he discovered that I was a ham, the chief engineer positively beamed as he showed me his prized Orban OptiMod. Known as the father of broadcast audio processors, the OptiMod is a split-band equalizer, compressor, stereo generator, and more, designed to make transmitted FM AM TV audio sound fabulous. And it did. Engineers could tweak the response for sweet-sounding classical music with its searing dynamic range, rich and authoritative talk radio, or mind-numbing, overly compressed pop rock. Orban also makes an AM OptiMod, which is perhaps more applicable to amateur radio. Two images on this page show first an electronics enclosure with the top off. There are five knobs and an LED light on the front panel. Inside is a circuit board. On the back are jacks for audio and power plugs. The caption reads, "My homebrew AGC EQ. Designed by WB0IKN, a split-band equalizer, compressor, and mic preamp, 1980s vintage, is surprisingly effective and still works fine to this day. This design uses a pair of low-noise op-amps and a Signetics NE570 compounder chip to make dynamic mics sound their best. If your rig doesn't offer DSP-based equalizing and processing, this will help. See text, NT0Z photo." The other image on this page shows an analog equalizer with slider controls. The caption reads, For rigs with or without internal equalizers, the W2IHY 8-band audio equalizer and noise gate is pretty much the gold standard when it comes to amateur radio audio processing. They don't give these things away, but this well-reviewed equalizer really gets the job done. Explore all of the company's audio processing resources at W2IHY.com. Back to the text. After that, I became acutely aware of how FM broadcast stations sounded, and I could soon determine which local station was which simply by the sound of the transmitted signals. One particularly flat-sounding station would briefly have me as its news director some 8 years later. I wasn't surprised that the transmitter still sounded all wrong when I started working there, and to this day, nearly 40 years later, it still sounds like an FM station transmitting through a telephone link. Over the years, I have experimented with various equalizers, compressors, and speech processors. Homebrew, low-cost commercial units for stereos, and a couple expensive ham-oriented units, in an attempt to polish my transmit audio with a variety of mics. These generally work well, but they sometimes add connection complexity and sometimes require level-matching accommodations. Until recently, my rigs generally lacked built-in speech processors and equalizers. My first big break came when I found a circuit published in the January 1986 edition of CQ Magazine called Build the AGC-EQ by Rich Nelson, WB0IKN. Although I built it decades ago, it still works fine to this day. In fact, I have been trying to find Rich to see if he has other designs on hand, if he's still a ham, or even if he's still around at all. The circuit uses a Signetics NE570 compander chip configured as a compressor AGC and a pair of low-noise op-amps as low- and high-frequency equalizers and preamps. It's not nearly as sophisticated, but it is a poor man's Optimod of sorts. Actually, it's more like a poor man's version of W2IHY's 8-band transmit audio equalizer. By carefully adjusting the input gain, the compression levels, and the high and low equalizer settings, the SSB audio quality of my transceiver is noticeably improved. Even the ops on the other end of the QSO agree, and that is the whole point of the exercise. Being SDR or DSP based, most modern radios have more sophisticated audio processing and transmit equalization controls built in. Even my now ancient Flex 1500 QRP SDR, for example, features a built-in transmit compander, 10-band equalizer, and continuously variable transmit filter bandwidths for an almost ridiculous degree of customization. All compression and ALC processing occurs before the final transmit filter, which dramatically reduces splatter and other unwanted modulation products that are the hallmark of overprocessed transmit audio. My Elecraft KX3 and my IC7300 have similarly sophisticated split-band equalizers, compressors, and adjustable transmit-transmission bandwidth controls, but they are much more difficult and tedious to use, especially on the fly, compared to WB0IKN's AGC-EQ. In a perfect world, I'd take Rich's excellent design and split the 300 Hz to 3000 Hz ham radio audio range into 4 or 5 bands instead of the original 2, and I'd probably build it with surface mount components to make it physically smaller. But there is just no getting around the usefulness of a simple circuit that pairs a 2-band equalizer with an adjustable analog compressor expander. Actually, There are ICs made by Signetics and others that combine a multi-band equalizer, compressor, compandor, noise gate, and audio preamp into one tiny package. They would be ideal for a technology update, but the sheer usefulness of the NE570 and a reliable, easy-to-build design can't be overstated. The technology and equipment required to produce hi-fi rag-chew quality audio is essentially the same as that required to produce clean, punchy, DX pile-up busting audio. The settings may be different, and the microphone elements themselves may be different, but the concepts are universal. Achieving top-notch on-air audio is a very broad subject, but the first steps start with lining up the right microphone. After that, getting the best possible results takes experimentation, but not necessarily a lot of money. For this month's non-exhaustive look at Transmit Audio, let's start there. On this page is an image of the front and back sides of the OptiMod device. The front panel has buttons for different controls, a screen for displaying text, bar graph level indicators. On the back are several XLR inputs and outputs, and other ports for other kinds of connections. It's designed for rack mounting. The caption reads, "Front and back panels of the Orban 9300 OptiMod." The company based in New Jersey that wrote the book on broadcast audio processing donated a similar $5,000 all-digital OptiMod 9300 to W1AW, ostensibly for use in the recreational AM station. It's sleek and high-performing, but the older analog 8100s look like something you'd rather have in your shack. Photo courtesy Orban. Back to the text. Microphones. Many hams view microphones as generic, indistinct audio devices, but not all mics are created equal. For many of us, the microphone that came with our radio is the only mic we'll ever use with that radio. And while most bundled mics work pretty well, what if you want a better sounding signal or a mic for DXing, contesting, or mobile operation in a noisy environment? Maybe you have a handheld mic right now, but want a desk mic or a boom mic with a foot switch. Maybe you'd like a headset for contesting or better environmental noise performance. The options are many, so how do you choose? Regardless of a mic's physical form, desk, handheld, boom, headset, etc., to be usable, it must at least reasonably match the input impedance of your radio speech amplifier and have a compatible connector or at least be adaptable. Hundreds of mics meet these criteria, which doesn't make our job any easier. Modern radios are designed for low to medium impedance dynamic or condenser microphones, although a few can even handle the higher impedance crystal mics favored by most older tube-type transceivers. Modern mic connectors also provide a low DC voltage to power Electret condenser mics, although some condenser mics are battery-powered to get around this limitation. Many radios also have rear panel audio inputs that typically connect to external audio processors or audio interface units for digi-mode operation. These external ports don't usually support directly connected microphones. Most amateur radio mics have push-to-talk switches and unbalanced outputs connectors, which practically limits cable lengths and often necessitates RFI EMI protection measures to reduce RFI susceptibility. Broadcasting and vocal stage mics often lack built-in PTT switches, but feature balanced XLR-style outputs connectors that usually afford much greater RFI immunity and the ability to match impedances and voltages with inline transformers. Just imagine how much RFI and other electrical crud a vocalist's mic might pick up if it had a 120-foot run of unbalanced cable. Most transceivers don't have XLR-style connectors, although most studio mixing gear does, as do some high-end ham radio audio processors, such as W2IHY's line of equalizers and compressors. Balanced mics can easily be adapted to work in unbalanced systems, but some method of PTT switching must usually be provided, although with Vox operation, PTT isn't strictly necessary. Even if you have a stellar quality mic that's perfectly matched to your rig, other factors may need to be considered. If, for example, you connect a broadcast quality hi-fi microphone to a transmitter with a narrow RF transmit bandwidth, no amount of audio processing and equalization will provide rag-chew quality sound. The opposite is also true. If you connect a microphone optimized for contesting to a hi-fi transmitter, your transmitted signal will still sound contesty and not hi-fi. Although modern rigs feature enhanced DSP-based transmit equalization and audio RF processing, setting everything up just right still usually involves work beyond merely finding a properly matched microphone. Be prepared for experimentation. In the end, the results will be worth the effort. On this page are two images. The first is a headset with mic. The cord for the headset has different kinds of audio plugs on it. The caption reads, "Aviation headsets like this Flightcom Classic are durable, have excellent noise cancellation performance by squeezing your head like a vise, and often have mic acoustics tuned for radio voice comms." Some ops say they make top-notch DXing and contesting mics, but they are expensive and need to be tweaked for amateur radio use. Note the special jack being stored on one of the headset's plugs, lower left. I have the schematic and will be making an interface for testing. A retiring pilot donated this to my DXing cause, NT0Z photo. The other image on this page shows the front panel of the SGC SG2020 radio. Text in the image reads HF to go, SGC made in USA. See more of the SG2020 at sgcworld.com. The caption reads, "As we all say sooner or later, I wish I'd never gotten rid of my SG2020 QRP-ish transceiver back in the day. Many of these had issues, but the tiny rig was known for its stellar audio quality. But look, there isn't a mic gain control anywhere. SGC's VOGAD, voice-operated gain-adjusting device, system, didn't need any help," see text. QSL graphic courtesy of SGC, which may still be in business in some fashion, but no longer has a web presence. Back to the text. Sometimes you get lucky. As mentioned, some rigs, mics, sound great right out of the box and some don't. I have owned two rigs over the years that stand out as having ridiculously good audio quality from day one, and both employed inexpensive hand mics. The Elinco DX70, a reasonably inexpensive HF plus 6 mobile rig from the late 90s, regularly garnered unprompted comments such as, "Wow, your audio sounds great." Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.